Well, let's pray before we open God's word this morning. Our Father in heaven, we consider it such a wonderful privilege that this morning we can celebrate your Son. Lord, we love him. We are thankful for your Son and for all he has done and is doing for us today. Lord, open our eyes in such a way that we would see wonderful things in your word, and open our hearts in such a way that we would receive them. Lord, you know the pressures of examination, of family, of home situations, of many of these students, your people. Lord, I pray that you would strengthen each of us so that we would run the Christian race with all diligence, setting our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. We pray this in his name and for his sake. Amen. This morning, I have 10 reasons why I'm thankful to God for the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. Your homiletics teacher told you never to have 10 points. I'm having 10 points this morning. Don't follow my example in this. 10 reasons why I'm thankful for the ascension of Jesus. The first reason is, in the ascension, Jesus moves in his exaltation towards heaven. Philippians chapter 2 starts by telling us that Jesus has actually humbled himself in such a way that he has become a servant, and even to the point of humbling himself to the point of death, and even the shame of death on the cross. What we see there is Jesus goes from being exalted with the Father forever to being humbled and humbling himself. But then he is raised to life again, starting his journey of exaltation. And what the ascension does is it seals that journey of exaltation. Jesus moves in the direction of heaven as he goes into this next phase of the exaltation. I thank God for the ascension, because in the ascension we see Jesus in his state of exaltation. This is a beautiful thing for our hope, by the way. If Jesus was still on earth, if there was still a possibility that he could die, our hope would not be secure. But here's the thing. You've placed your trust in Jesus. Jesus is ascended to the right hand of God. Your hope will never fail because Jesus is in heaven. He is exalted. The second reason why I'm thankful for the ascension of Jesus is that Jesus continues his work as the incarnate Lord. When I was much younger, I thought about the ascension of Jesus as at that moment where Jesus ascended into heaven, he dispensed of his body. He gave it up forever so that he could fill the whole universe finally. But that was completely wrong for two reasons. The first reason is, even in Jesus' incarnate state, while he was walking around in Samaria and in Galilee and in Nazareth, he was still upholding and filling the whole universe in his divine nature. But even more so, the bigger problem with my view when I was younger was that Jesus doesn't dispense of his human incarnation. The incarnate Lord continues in his state as God, in his nature as God, and in his nature as man forever. That's why Paul, writing to Timothy, says there is one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus, in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. The same could be said of Revelation, where John has this vision of heaven, and he sees the coming judgment in the unfolding of the scrolls, and he looks around to see who is worthy to unfold these scrolls, and there's no one worthy under heaven and earth who is worthy to open these scrolls. And then he hears the announcement, this amazing feature in Revelation of hearing and seeing. He hears the announcement of the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the one who was conquered, and then he looks, and there is the Lamb of God, who has taken away the sin of the world. The wonder of this, from the ascension, is that Jesus, as a man, has ascended into heaven, and he continues to be man, being represented of what he has done on earth, in his cross and in his resurrection. I don't know whether we'll see the visible wounds in the body of Christ as Thomas saw them, but forever in heaven, we'll see that Jesus was the one who died. And we'll see that Jesus was the one who's raised to life again. Our hope will never change because of the ascension of the incarnate Lord. The third reason I'm thankful to God for the ascension is that Jesus has completed all the work the Father has given him to do on earth. Jesus has completed all the work that his Father had given him to do on earth. In his 33 years in his life on earth, Jesus was not only proclaiming the kingdom of God, telling his disciples about his own Father and the coming of the Holy Spirit, and demonstrating the coming of the kingdom of God in his actions and in his parables, but Jesus was also leading up to the cross and the resurrection event. But we see here in the ascension, Jesus has completed the work which he was sent to do on earth. But I'm thankful to God for the ascension, because Jesus' work isn't finished once he ascends to heaven. Now Jesus starts a new phase of his work, his heavenly work, his work of intercession, his work of high priest. I'm thankful for the ascension because Jesus continues his work for us and for our salvation, even as he is in heaven. The fourth reason I'm thankful to God for the ascension is that Jesus promised to send us his Holy Spirit. Jesus told his disciples that it is better that for him to go than for him to stay, because he is going to ask his Father and he's going to send the Holy Spirit on them. Even as we read this passage in Acts, we see once again that those words of John the Baptist, what I do as John the Baptist is only a picture. I baptize you for the repentance of sins, but after me comes one who baptizes you in the Holy Spirit. This is why Jesus goes away. He goes away to send us another counselor, to send us the paraclete, the one who will testify to the works and the words of Jesus, the one who will bring to remembrance everything that Jesus has done, the one who would actually make his presence known in us. You yourselves are the temple of the living God, because God's Holy Spirit dwells in you. This is the blessing of the new covenant. This is amazing news for us. Jesus ascends to heaven no longer to be seen by us here on earth, but at the same time he sent us the Holy Spirit to be with us forever. That's good news. The fifth reason I'm thankful for the ascension of Jesus is that in the ascension of Jesus, Jesus takes the place of high priest. The book of Hebrews is just filled with images of this. It tells us that Jesus doesn't take the high priesthood of many of the Old Testament priests, of Aaron and of the Levites. No, he actually has a priesthood which is much, much older than that of Aaron and Levi. Drawing from Psalm 110, the author of Hebrews tells us that Jesus himself is this high priest from the line of Melchizedek, this most ancient of persons, who is a picture, a parable of Jesus himself. And what does Jesus do as high priest? Well, as high priest, he's both sacrifice and he is intercessor. He's finished his work of sacrifice in the atonement, but now he continues his work as intercessor on our behalf before the Father. This is the kind of thing that we see in John chapter 17, where Jesus prays for his immediate disciples, and then he prays for the people who would believe as a result of their testimony. And here we are at the corner of Africa, and we have believed in the Lord Jesus because of their testimony. Jesus' prayers are effective, and they are moving and building his church as he has promised that he would do. But the intercession of Christ actually shows us something additional about why Jesus became man. We're told in Hebrews chapter 4 that part of the reason Jesus has become man was that he might be tempted. And part of the reason that he might be tempted is so that he might sympathize with our weaknesses. So that when you and I are tempted, as we are, we could go to him and say, sympathetic, empathetic Lord, you know what it is to be tempted. But I come to you for strength. You know the wonder of God's grace? He gives us this way out in temptation. But even in his grace, he prepares for when we stumble and fall. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, we're told about when we do sin, we have an advocate with the Father. We have one who pleads in our defense before the Father. So even if we have sinned, we have an advocate. Go to your heavenly advocate. He not only knows what it's like to be tempted, but he's willing to help you in your time of temptation, and he's willing to forgive you when you have sinned. Of course, this is no reason to sin, but this is more the reason to depend on God's grace in Christ Jesus for what he has done for us. I thank God for for the ascension of Jesus, because in the ascension of Jesus, we have Christ, our high priest, our sympathetic high priest, who pleads on our behalf. Isn't it wonderful, though, that in his intercession, he is not pleading before a God and Father who is reluctant to forgive our sins. He's pleading before a God and Father who loves us before the foundations of the earth. This is the God before he's pleading. So as Jesus is pleading for you and for your situation, as he's praying for you, he's praying to you before God. And God says, yes, I want this person to be sanctified. Yes, I want this person to be conformed to my son. Yes, I want to grow them in maturity. Let's do it. Let's bring this about. Jesus prays before the Father, but oh, the Father is so happy to receive all those prayers so that we might be sanctified. The sixth reason why I'm thankful for Jesus' ascension is that in Jesus' ascension, Jesus takes the place as the Son of Man, receiving all authority in heaven and on earth. Now, this is really, really wonderful. This picture comes from Daniel chapter 7, verse 14, where's this wonderful picture of the Ancient of Days, where Daniel is sitting in captivity in Babylon, and he knows what it's like that kings rise up and oppress. And he sees the one who has all authority in heaven and earth, the Ancient of Days. But he not only sees him, he sees one like a Son of Man approaching him. This is what we read in Daniel chapter 7. The Son of Man who approaches the Ancient of Days, he was given authority, glory, sovereign power. All nations and peoples in every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will not be destroyed. The ascension of Jesus, then, is a coronation service. It's an inauguration service. Jesus ascends to heaven, yes, but he ascends as king. He ascends as the one who is rightfully the one who sits at the right hand of God, having all authority in heaven and on earth. The wonder of that is, he uses that authority for us. He uses that authority to build his church. He uses that authority to strengthen us so that we might be conformed to his own image. He could use it on anything, but his grace extends to us in this way. The wonder of the scene that we see in Acts chapter 1 of the ascension is that Jesus is ascended to the heavenly place, and we don't see him receiving all authority in heaven and on earth. But we have glimpses of this. And the reason we say there are glimpses of this in Acts chapter 1, have you noticed what hides Jesus from the view of the disciples? It's the clouds. Now, you might think, well, it's just a very common thing that if you go beyond the clouds will be the thing that hides you. But in the context of one who receives all authority in heaven and on earth, the clouds is a more significant image. The clouds is the kind of image that we see from the Old Testament when the cloud fills the temple. The cloud is the Shekinah glory of God. Beyond the clouds, what we don't see is Jesus entering into heaven in triumph. He has finished all the work the Father has given him to do on earth. He receives power, authority, majesty, dominion. He is sung by from the angels and all the saints in heaven who see him. He is sung to by the Father and the Holy Spirit. They celebrate his conquering work. They celebrate that he is victorious in his death. They celebrate that he is victorious in his resurrection. And he takes the seat of the right hand of God, taking the seat of authority to build his church. I thank God for the ascension of Jesus, because in it, Jesus is exalted as king, not over merely Israel, but king over the world, king over the nations, king over the universe. The seventh reason I'm thankful for the ascension of Jesus is that Jesus reorients our sense of space, place, and land. When you think about the conventional understanding of the Tower of Babel, what happens there is you have mankind trying to build themselves up to where they can come to God's throne, even maybe to overthrow God's throne himself. They have to build themselves up to reach up to heaven, and God looks down at what they're doing down on the earth. And another way that people try to conquer the earth for God is by creating empire. They go out into all the earth and create lands for themselves, conquering them in the name of their deity, whatever that might be. But this is not the way of Jesus. This is not the way of the ascension. What we learn in the ascension about place, space, and land is that God in Christ has come down to us in the incarnation, in the form of a babe, to be the Messiah, the King of the world. And then he is ascended to the right hand of God. And do you know what he does there? He's preparing a place for us. And that place is not just a room. It's the new heavens come down to earth, where God's sacred space comes to our physical universe. And we will dwell with him forever. The wonder of that isn't the space alone. The wonder is that we'll see him, that we'll be with him. The same Jesus that died for us, that's resurrected, we'll see him and we'll be with him forever. I'm thankful for the ascension of Jesus because Jesus, in his ascension, reorientates our sense of place, space, and land towards the new heavens and the new earth yet to come. The eighth reason I'm thankful for the ascension of Jesus is that in the ascension, Jesus gives us a meal to remember him. And we're going to partake of this meal together in a few moments. But from the time of Jesus' ascension to the time of his return, Jesus has given us a physical way to remember him and what he has done for us in the Lord's Supper. Much like the gospel proclaimed, the word preached, the Lord's Supper is the gospel, the word enacted, the word demonstrated, the word seen physically. And so in this Lord's Supper, we celebrate Jesus because Jesus no longer is on earth. He is in heaven at the right hand of God. And we celebrate this Lord's Supper for a time only, from the time he instituted it to the time that he returns. And then it's an end. This Lord's Supper is a sign of something greater yet to come. The reality of Jesus himself, who comes in his second coming. I am so thankful for the ascension of Jesus because in it he has given us a sign to remember him. The ninth reason I'm thankful for the ascension of Jesus is that Jesus commissioned us to all the nations of the earth. Typically, in the disciples' fashion, they ask the wrong question in the ascension scene. They ask, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And Jesus answered, it's not for you to know what that is, but here's the real answer. The Holy Spirit will come on you, and you will be my witnesses, not just in Israel, in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You will be my witnesses, and through this means, the kingdom of God is coming into this world. We see this as a fulfillment of what Jesus had commissioned his disciples to do in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, where he tells them to go into all the nations and to make disciples, to tell them, to teach them how to obey Jesus' word and to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And Jesus promised that he'll never leave them. He'll always be with them in this process. But you know, the wonder of it all is the grace of it. Because in the picture of Psalm 110, which is a picture of the ascension as well, we see that the Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. The enemies? That's the nations. But here in the ascension, we see what Jesus is really up to. We see that Jesus is conquering the nations, not merely in judgment, but in grace. Jesus has the nations at his foot, those who are judged under his feet, and those who receive his grace as Lord, they bow down at his feet. In the ascension of Jesus, we see the nations coming to Jesus. This is what the Lord does when he's at the right hand. He creates for himself a bride. He creates for himself a people. The tenth reason I'm thankful for the ascension of Jesus is that in the ascension, Jesus promises us that he will soon return. As the disciples were standing there looking up into the sky and wondering when Jesus will come back, An angel appears to them and says, listen, you don't have to just stand here. You need to get on. Jesus has given you a really important task. Go and do that. Do you know why? Because soon, before you know it, he'll come back. The same way you saw him being exalted as king into the heavens beyond the clouds, he'll return. And when he returns, he'll return not only to redeem his bride, but to judge the nations. So our time for grace is now. Our time to take this message into the highways and the byways is now. May God use us to do exactly that until Jesus returns. I want to leave you with one word from the Bible. It's that the ascension really refocuses our attention to where our sight should be. It's right and good that we focus much on the cross and the resurrection as a proclamation of who Jesus is and what he has done in grace. But Jesus is no longer on the cross. Jesus is no longer merely resurrected walking around in Galilee. Jesus is ascended as king. Jesus ascended as high priest. Jesus ascended as the one who intercedes for us. And Jesus has sent his Holy Spirit on us to take the gospel to the nations. May God give us the strength to do just that.